405 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. There you go. It is what it is, right? Weather is also what it is. Yes, I know. We once again have a chance of thunderstorms. Friends, it is Central Virginia in the summer, which means fundamentally every single solitary day we have a chance for thunderstorms. Although the last couple of days we really have gotten some heavy rain. I don't know, thankfully, I don't know anything about flooding yesterday. Remember, they were talking about the possibility of 1 to 2 inches of rain from the evening through the overnight, and then the possibility of localized flooding. I am very happy to say that I haven't seen any stories about any flooding. If you had something going on in your neck of the woods, do me a favor, because I personally want to be aware of it. I want everybody to be aware of it. Send me a quick note. Use the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. All right? And just let me know if you encountered anything so that we can be aware of that. Thanks again to Governor Glenn Youngkin for dropping by. Number of folks have already reached out. Jeff, I missed the governor. Oh my gosh. I thought he was going to be on. It's all right. Jeremy, because he is, in addition to, according to all the rankings, Jeremy is the number 35 best talk radio producer in all of America. It's true. Talkers Magazine saluting. All right, well, they saluted me. But nonetheless, I mean, I consider Germ part of the crowd. So he's very good. So he's already turning that around. And our conversation with Governor Youngkin will air it again in its entirety starting at 5:05 this afternoon. So I promise you, you won't miss anything. Tony Pham is going to be with us at 4:35. I just got a note. Wait a minute. I got to tell you this. Jeff, what is this Easy Western thing you mentioned to the governor? Not Easy Western. Cheesy Western. The Cheesy Western is one of the hallmark sandwiches at the Texas Inn. The Tea Room. Two locations in Lynchburg and one in Harrisonburg and one in Richmond. That's my buddy Dave Saunders. That's his. So, you know, I'm not an egg person, right? I just don't like eggs. And the Cheesy Western prominently features an egg. But even I'm not quite an anti-eggite, but I don't particularly care for eggs. But even I will consume a Cheesy Western. And so for the person who does not know what a Cheesy Western is from the Texas Inn, I actually looked it up on their website to make sure I got the description right. Most of the rest of us kind of sort of know if we've been there, right? All right, the Cheesy Western, or just Cheesy, it's a beautiful burger, and it is topped with an egg. It's whisked exactly 10 times, fried sunny side up like an omelet. Then the burger patty is placed on top. The egg and burger combo is flipped to finish cooking, then placed on a bun, and then topped with American cheese, a sprinkle of chopped onion, and the Tea Room's legendary yellow relish. Now, I don't even know how to describe that golden relish. I don't, except delicious. That's all. So there you go. So, and the Cheesy Western is, in fact, the governor's favorite item at the Texas Inn. So that's why I mentioned it, all right, 804? And if you haven't, in fact, gone and tried the Cheesy Western, then please, you should do something about that. 804 says, hey, I'm sorry, hitting me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I wish we could have Governor Youngkin for a second term. Yeah, well, this is the weird thing about our beloved Commonwealth. You're in, you're out. You got 4 years. You can't succeed yourself, although, in theory, if Governor Youngkin wanted to come back in another 4 years and run again, he'd be able to. But it happens, I'm trying to think, is it twice, Jerem? I think it's twice in Virginia history has been someone who has served as governor twice. I think. Don't quote me. Not a history major, but I think that's what it was. Somebody will know. And if you know, then let me know. 833-804-1140. Jeff, please ask him how we can bring Lieutenant Governor Sears to accept John Reed and show a true unified GOP in Virginia, P and Hanover. It is a unified team. When Lieutenant Governor Sears was here a couple of days ago, she talked about it. It's a unified team. Everybody is on the same page. This is all about keeping Virginia on track. So those handful of people who are still thinking, oh, this one doesn't like that one and that one doesn't, please, just put it to bed already. Honest to goodness, be done with it. We only elect three people statewide for our state offices, right? Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General. We are hitting on all cylinders with these options. Please, just full steam ahead. Another 804 says, Jeff, CNBC is simply trying to make Republicans look bad to help the Democrats. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. When you hear what CNBC added to this list, and Governor Youngkin explained it just a couple of moments ago. But we're still number one, right? I mean, really. Yeah. All right, now I knew Mills Godwin had been elected twice. And wasn't he was elected once as a Democrat, once as a Republican? Isn't that right? God, I'm going to embarrass myself if I'm completely and totally wrong, but I think that's correct. And William Smith also elected as governor more than once. That's since the adoption of Virginia's second constitution in 1830. That comes to us from Jeremy, and I have a sneaking suspicion his pal AI. All right. What else have we got here? Governor Youngkin sent out a mailing asking to support Jason Meares. Yeah, that's from Tom in Chester. Jason Meares is vital to keeping Virginia on the straight and narrow, keeping us moving forward. This attorney general actually cares about enforcing the law. This attorney general is actually out there trying to hold the irresponsible Commonwealth's attorneys' feet to the fire. He doesn't have all the power from the legislature. But you look at that guy, what is it? I'm trying to think, one of the, is it Steve Toscano, right? Up in Fairfax, who, I don't want to mess up his name. My luck, I'll name his cousin. His cousin will be all upset. Yeah, I think it's a Tuesday. But, you know, he is all in favor, apparently, of criminality. Honest to goodness, I don't think he's ever met a criminal he didn't like. So it's sort of craziness when you think about it. We want our Commonwealth's attorneys to be out there prosecuting people, right? Police lock them up, but then it's up to the CA to do the prosecution. And if you've got a prosecutor like Steve Toscano, well, it's not going to get done. One of these far left wing wackadoodles. Hell, even in Henrico, Shannon Taylor. Shannon Taylor is not a fan of law enforcement and not a supporter of law and order. It's pretty close. And it's one of the reasons that it's essential that Jason Meares is returned to the AG's office. Anyway, Tony Pham, who also knows a thing or two about law enforcement and the border, and as well as correctional operations, he is going to be with us at 4:35. Our good friend Rob Chadwick retired out of the FBI. He was the tactical instructor up there at Quantico. Great dude. He's over at the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. He joins us every Friday Eve. He'll be with us. Oh, and Riley Shia from the Virginia Council. They have a great, fun event coming up, a big party that you are welcome to attend, but you have to register for it. So I ran into Riley the other day at an event. I said, could you hop on and just let everybody know how they get signed up for it? And she said, sure. So she'll be with us as well. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. There's a lot going on. There's no doubt about that. And we've got some good stuff going on. You're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you that the local federal district judge who ruled against President Trump, you're going to think I'm nuts when I tell you that's actually a good thing. I'll tell you why. Now, let me be clear. Because it's going to be fast-tracked right to the Supreme Court, and the Supremes will once again have an opportunity, and I would say an obligation, to smack down a lower court judge. Nothing personal, but you weren't elected president, and you don't have the power to do what it is that you're trying to do. It's the last vestige of the leftist right now. I was disgusted. I watched a piece on PBS. All right, in general, I know you could feel nauseous watching PBS, but this was with the chairman of the Democrat National Committee. What's his name? Ken Martin. And PBS, I will give them this degree of credit. They actually asked him about the Zohran Mamdani guy. He's the Jew-hating, America-hating communist who wants to be mayor of New York. And they asked him, this DNC chair, about Mamdani calling to, quote, globalize the Intifada. Now, here's a chance for him to reassure someone like, oh, I don't know, me, who grew up as a Democrat. Say, hey, listen, there's some crazy people. And no, we're not on board with that. But he didn't do that. Didn't do that. He said of Mamdani and his call to globalize the Intifada, which is a call for even more slaughters of even more Jews. Globalize the Intifada means to slaughter as many Jews as possible and to completely eliminate the modern state of Israel. That's what globalize the Intifada means. And the DNC chair said, well, we're a big tent party. Sure, there are differences of opinions. Now, you tell me, Mr. Chairman, what's the difference of opinion? As one group of people shouting, globalize the Intifada, is saying, well, we should slaughter all the Jews? Is the difference of opinion, well, maybe we should only slaughter some of the Jews? Is that what the difference of opinion is? You know, the difference of opinion in any other setting is, you're having a hot dog. Are you putting ketchup on that? Would you rather have mustard? You can make an argument for either, and I will eat it either way, by the way. That's a difference of opinion. Do you want mustard or ketchup on something? Slaughtering the Jews is not really subject to interpretation or equivocation. Unless, of course, you're the chair of the Democrat National Committee, which, in that case, apparently, you can kind of sort of go along with it. Which is why I kind of sort of can't go along with you. Tony Pham joins us at 4:35. Always look forward to chatting with Tony. Remember, the James River Air text line always available to you, 833-804-1140. 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is holding steady, 80, 82 degrees. And yes, we do, in fact, have a possibility of thunderstorms rolling through sometime this evening. Because we always have a possibility of thunderstorms rolling through sometime this evening during the summer, Central Virginia. We've got Rob Chadwick, who's going to be joining us at 5:35, United States Concealed Carry Association, retired FBI supervisory special agent, headed up their tactical operations, teaching people tactics and shooting and all the rest of that stuff at Quantico. Looking forward to chatting with him. Oh, and Riley Shia is going to pop in for a couple of moments. The Virginia Council has a big, big event coming up, a fun event. And you're invited to it, but the time to register is running out. So I think she's holding it open for just another day or two for my listeners, and we'll get the details in a couple of moments. As you know, I happen to think the world of Tony Pham. I have admired his dedication to the country. I have stood in awe of him as he has accepted every single solitary challenge to help and to lead. And Tony is now a senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute. And he's going to be joining us on a regular basis again. And we're just thrilled to get Tony into the lineup here to talk about a variety of issues. His specialty, clearly, is bailiwick, is the immigration matter. But again, he is now a senior fellow for the America First Policy Institute. Tony, thank you for being here. And big time congratulations. That's a pretty impressive post, my friend.
Oh, Jeff, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you and talk to your listeners. And again, thank you for the kind words about my new role with the America First Policy Institute. America first, America always.
Yeah. Wow. What a great line. God, that is beautiful. Say it again, because I want to hear it again. Everybody should hear that.
I know. America first, America always, coming from a refugee who came to this country in 1975, right? Their mission set is in line with what my beliefs are and how great this nation is. And I'm always proud and grateful for the opportunity to appear in multiple different spaces to represent their mission, but also to talk about a lot of the policy related issues that are going to be coming down the pike or have come down the pike from this administration, but also provide a unique and dynamic contrast to what it was like the previous 4 years. I don't always want to live in the past, but to appreciate and understand the pragmatic way forward to saving this nation that we all love. We do have to compare what life was like in the previous 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, we absolutely do. Oh, good Lord, we absolutely do. President Trump has accomplished so much in the first 6 months. I don't believe. I've never seen a president get that much done in the first 6 months in office. And his operations in once again securing the border, my gosh, he's done incredible work. You tell me, what are you seeing? What is the big difference between 2 years ago and now?
Oh, no, absolutely. And Jeff, you know, I always like to say this, and forgive me for taking the second to just comment. I've had the privilege of serving President Trump in two administrations now, but in three different capacities, right? One as the principal legal advisor, one as the acting director for immigrations from the operations side standpoint, but then also as the assistant secretary for border security from the policy side. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I will note is this administration coming into 2025 moved with precise expertise and precision compared to the previous administration, Joe Biden, who came in and the only thing they ran on or worked on was undoing everything President Trump's first administration had effectively done. This administration, this time around, 47, however, blazed their own trail. They had some time to work through all the chess pieces. So you could see it in comparison to all of the executive orders that were issued in a cascading manner, right? They just came flowing out. And I say that affectionately because I was in charge of the policy shop that received all of the policies. So I didn't sleep for a while. But that was a privilege of losing a lot of sleep in an effort to be a part of a team of well-intentioned and qualified people with certain subject matter expertise who were putting in the policies that he wanted to see to shut down the border. I mean, we have historic lows right now in looking at the border crossings and border interdictions that CBP has to go through. Historic numbers, better than what we've seen before in his previous administration. But we're also seeing these executive orders that are looking at unique and critical ways to approach, new and novel ways to approach the Immigration Title Aid Enforcement Authority, right? Utilizing multiple different law enforcement agents and officers who do have historically had Title Aid authority to enforce immigration laws, but failed to do so for multitude of reasons. I'm not going to delve into every individual departments, but you know, to be able to identify those equities and those authorities and put them all into a singular plan was quite impressive to be a part of. And I'm pretty excited to see a lot of the results come from what are those results? Historic number of deportations, right? Lower numbers, historic low numbers at border interdictions and border crossings. getting criminal aliens out of the United States, keeping true to his word that he's going to protect the American people through aggressive illegal immigration enforcement. So on that front, that's the big difference, is they put the action plan in play and have not deviated from it.
Mm-hmm. What is there to say about the obstacles being placed in the way of the DHS and ICE and the removal folks who are out there? The mayor of Los Angeles, obviously, yeah. they're putting up all sorts of robots. And locally, look, Danny Avola, the mayor of Richmond, making clear that as far as he's concerned, Richmond is a sanctuary city. Does any of this stuff hold any weight at all?
I don't know what it means to hold weight. What I do know is if you're going to self-declare that you're a sanctuary, there will be consequences that come down the pike from the federal government for being a sanctuary city. And what that means is not cooperating with ICE or actually taking affirmative steps to be obstructionist to the enforcement of immigration law. Now, I don't want to pre-sell it. I do have an op-ed coming out having a discussion about what constitutes a locality or an entity as a sanctuary city. And that was born from some of that confusion that occurred when DHS had initially published that list, that famous list, as so many people wanted to jump up and down about. But I wanted to be able to utilize my experience in all three capacities across two different administrations to be able to provide the reader who may not know what it really means to not cooperate with ICE. Having run a jail with ICE detainees, I do understand the requirements that were placed on being able to house illegal immigrants, as we call them, illegal aliens, but also being able to turn them over to ICE when necessary. So it's coming down the pike. Hopefully it'll be published soon, Jeff, and I'd love to come back on the show and have a more robust and dynamic discussion with regard to those standards to qualify as a sanctuary. But some of the obstacles we're seeing right now is simply put this way. When the Democrats lose the argument on policy, they are perfectly okay in accepting the violence that occurs that comes after it, right? Yeah. It's almost like having school-age children who don't get their way. And so now what do? They stamp their feet and they're okay when things start getting thrown. And I apologize for likening it to kids, but what we're watching right now is the environment beginning to devolve and reduce itself into sheer violence against our officers and our agents on the street. Yep. And that's unacceptable, right? Completely unacceptable. Anyone who supports law enforcement needs to be in a position to support our agents and officers who are merely doing their job. It's the same analysis, right, Jeff? Back in 2020 in September, when these radicals descended upon my home, and what they did was they protested my wife and kids, and really, for what? I just wanted to do a job, and that was enforce the law. So what we're seeing right now across the United States, across the space, people like Brandon Johnson, people like Mayor Michelle Wu up in Boston, people like Karen Bass out in L.A., being obstructionists, even the senator out there in California and his theatrics, and claiming that he was violated, being thrown to the ground, however he yet to identify himself. The left has begun to enable this level of violence. And I'm going to give you an example. Just recently, H.R. 4176, No Secret Police Act of 2025, was introduced by Representative Dan Goldman and co-sponsored by 42 Democrats in Congress, right? Mm-hmm. What that calls for is demanding and requiring our law enforcement to wear their official insignia, but also removing their face masks. Right now, granted, Antifa, the radical wing of the Democrat Party, Antifa, they're perfectly happy in wearing all of those face masks, face coverings. And in fact, in 2020, during COVID, all the liberals and Democrats would ever scream about and shame you for is not wearing a mask, right? That's right. Let me say this. Instead of focusing on condemning the violence, standing up and supporting our law enforcement by supporting effective and aggressive prosecution. We're looking at, I'm going to give you another example, the 10 individual members in Texas who were planning an ambush at the Prairieland Detention Center out there in Alvarado, Texas, right? The subsequent ambush attack shooting of the CBP substation in McAllen, Texas. And I was there, right, Jeff? I showed you pictures in 2020, right. Yes, having visited McAllen. This is the byproduct of enabling a radical wing of their party who can't, when they don't win the argument on policy, they think they convince the American people by using violence. And I will simply say this. They are writing the best midterm political ads that I can see right now, quite honestly, right? Because I would challenge any mom and pop in suburban America who turns on the TV and sees the individuals out in L.A. being allowed to stand on U.S. soil, burn our American flag, but wave a foreign nation's flag of the country that they left and didn't want to live in. Right? Great political ad, if you ask me, but I'm just being facetious at this point and pretty punchy. So forgive me, because
for someone who, that is spot on. Being, and you know what, Tony? Let's end it right there. Okay. You're going to come back. I want people to read the op-ed piece. Where's the best place for folks to find that? Where's it going to be?
I will certainly let you know. You can mention it on the show, but I think we're going to be targeted large-scale publications, large-scale newspapers. We'll be targeting it so it gets a broader review from based upon my prior experience in that space.
Perfect. Well, Tony Pham, you are a good man. You've always been a good man. You're a great American, and I love you joining our regular rotation here. That is my friend Tony Pham. Tony is senior fellow now for the America First Policy Institute, and their tagline, I love this, America First, America Always. God bless America. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:52. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I love hearing about In the Garage with Stan Andruski. Or as I've begun calling him, Stan Drewski. Well, I don't have time to say all of it, you know, Stan Andruski, so I cut it out. Stan Drewski. It just sort of flows better. Anyway, In the Garage with Stan Drewski happens Saturday mornings at 8. And we were just chatting earlier today, Stan and I were. So we're both going to be there. It's going to be great. And then later in the day on Saturday, 2:40 p.m., in case you are keeping track at home, I'll be joining my friends over on Newsmax TV. Getting to be something of a regular over there on Newsmax. Really do like that. Appreciate it. Chris Ruddy has been on this program many, many times. He's a great guy. But anyway, Saturday at 2:40 in the afternoon, I scheduled to be on Newsmax TV, and I don't know what I'll be talking about. I don't know who I'll be with, but that's the time they gave me. I always urge you, like, if it's 2:40, you should probably make sure you're watching by 2:30, and it could still happen at 2:45 or 2:50, but I just wanted to at least ballpark it for you. City of Richmond now entering into a consent decree with the Virginia Department of Health to, well, pay attention to the crappy water situation that exists at the Richmond Water Facility. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if they are able to stay on top of it. I hope they are. But they have formally pledged that they are fully addressing the issues at their water treatment plant. I don't know what that means, do you? And without being overly insulting, I'm not sure that I believe them anymore. Seriously, I was totally willing to give the mayor the benefit of the doubt for a little bit. But come on, dude, you've been there for what, 6 months? You should really know a little bit more and get stuff done. 804 says, Jeff, when you refer to Jeremy and call him germ, it sounds like a bacteria. That's just wrong. Jer would be more correct. Well, 804, you are correct. And my natural instinct would be to call Jeremy Jer. But Jeremy is the one who said, no, call me germ. And his germ is spelled with a J, so it's not a bacteria or a virus. It's a real, live, living producer. Apparently, one of the 35 best talk radio producers in all of America. That's what I heard. Seriously. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.